And last but not least is item number 800.
Authorize charitable organizations eligible to participate in the city's 2020 charitable campaign and authorize exemptions for charities not meeting the 25% overhead cost cap requirement.
Colleagues, the City of Portland's charitable campaign was introduced by Commissioner Mike Lindberg back in 1989. The campaign allows city employees to donate to their choice of participating charities through payroll deduction. Employees have donated more than $3.3 million over the last 12 years. The 2020 campaign will run from October 30th, 2019 through November 30th, 2019. This ordinance authorizes the applicant's participation in this year's campaign. The ordinance also authorizes an exception this year only for organizations not meeting the 25% overhead cap limit while the Charitable Campaign Advisory Committee develops an equitable exception process. And I'd like to go ahead and answer any questions you have. And then, colleagues, I'd also like to introduce an amendment. There's an organization that was not originally included, but we have an affinity group that has requested the inclusion of an organization. But I'll get to that amendment in a moment. First, I wanted to address any questions.
And Mayor, if you're offering an amendment, does this still have to be an emergency for some purpose?
Why don't we ask the person in charge?
Not necessarily.
Could you state your name?
Sorry. My name is Janet Storm. I'm with Office of Management and Finance Business Operations, and I'm the Charitable Campaign Coordinator.
Why is this an emergency?
It's traditionally been submitted as an emergency because of the time factor. The campaign is coming up. However, the campaign will not be until October 30th this year, so we still have plenty of time. It's not necessary to have it be an emergency if it doesn't
happen. Mayor, are you offering a substantive amendment?
I'm offering a substantive amendment.
So why don't we take the emergency off just so that people have a chance to comment?
Okay, very good. And by offering the amendment, I would be doing that anyway, wouldn't I?
No, you can.
No, okay, very
still,
good.
So I move to take the emergency clause off the ordinance.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Please call the roll.
Hursty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment carries. I'll go ahead and make my amendment unless there's any further questions. I'd like to amend this item to add SMRC, the Sexual and Gender Minority Youth Center, to the list of approved organization. They provide a safe, supervised, harassment-free space for sexual and gender minority youth. As a city-partnered nonprofit, they do work with the Portland Police Bureau, the Joint Office of Homeless Services, and the Office of Community and Civic Life. Additionally, the LGBTQ Deep Affinity Group here at the City of Portland, LGBTQ and Friends, requested SMRC be on the list, and therefore I would like to offer this as an amendment.
Second.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. I think Commissioner Udaly beat you to the punch, but you were so close.
So close.
Any discussion on the amendment? Please call the roll on the amendment.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler.
The amendment's on the table. Any public testimony?
We did not have a sign-up sheet for this.
Very good. Seeing no further testimony, yeah. Commissioner Hardesty.
I'm sorry. No worries. Lunch time.
No worries.
Thank you so much for your presentation. I actually asked this to be pulled off the consent agenda because as someone who's very familiar with nonprofits, I'm very concerned that we have a process where we're treating multi-million-dollar organizations the exact same way that we're treating very small nonprofit organizations. And I'm referring to the 25% cap on overhead costs. So 25% on a multi-million-dollar organization is different than with a very small. Why are you proposing that we authorize you to do that this year?
What we're proposing is to suspend that rule for 1 year so that the campaign charitable advisory committee can go back and create a more equitable process for some of these nonprofits. We did an analysis again this year and found that 68 of our applied nonprofits did not past that 25% rule. And many, many of them are organizations that work with minorities, the disadvantaged, the homeless, animals, the environment. They're very tiny. And as you said, when you have a multi-million-dollar organization, that's a lot more leeway for them to reach that 25%. But with a tiny organization that's only bringing in about $100,000 a year in revenue, that 25% is a tiny amount of money to run an operation. So what the committee would like to do is continue working on an equitable exemption process. We did have some committee turnover this year. We're going to have some new committee members, and they would like to prepare something to present to you next year for your approval or, for you to look at and maybe change the way that we do things from here on out rather than just doing a blanket, making it a blanket rule.
And so best practices in nonprofit associations actually do require a good ratio between the money that's raised and how much money is actually used for the purpose that it's used for, right?
As a matter of fact, it's not considered best practices anymore. We looked at GuideStar, Charity Navigator, the Oregon Association of Nonprofits. They all feel that 25% rule contributes to something called the nonprofit starvation cycle, which means that nonprofits are purposefully not investing in the kind of infrastructure that they need to operate successfully in order to keep themselves at that ratio.
Well, the Children's Levy operates with a 15% administrative cap,
mm-hmm.
and so that is money that is given out to community nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm just troubled by the fact that 25% just seems very arbitrary, right? I don't know where that number came from or why we thought that was the good model for this year. Since this is not on an emergency at the moment, I think it would be really helpful when, I guess we won't have any additional public testimony on this issue unless we make an exception for that day. But I would really like to hear from some of the smaller nonprofits mm-hmm. about why this could work. So that's one question. The second one is that I noticed that RAC is a umbrella organization, but also is listed separately as a fundraising. I'm sorry, it's not RAC. What is it? The where do arts funds go?
UNITS.
Did they go to RAC?
I think it's RAC.
It is RAC. So RAC is listed as an umbrella organization where they can get the money and pass through,
yeah.
But they're also listed as an independent organization. So I have questions about whether or not there's, and because they're the only ones that gets the arts fund, even though they distribute it out, that I was concerned about the appearance of double dipping into money for that particular organization. Does that make sense?
Well, these are employee contributions, so our employees should have the broadest choice of where they contribute possible. So it's not remotely double dipping. It's not our money. I'm making a charitable contribution from my own paycheck. If it happens to be an organization that the city also funds, mm-hmm. I don't see why that's an issue. And didn't we have this conversation last year?
I was going to ask, how many times have we done this exemption?
I'm really looking forward to resolving this because it is arbitrary. And it's also, if we think of charitable organizations strictly as pass-throughs for money,
right,
going from donors to the needy, then I can see how this would make sense. We don't want to finance massive salaries for CEOs of these organizations, but many nonprofits, all they do is administer programs. So whether it's a literary nonprofit or providing legal services to immigrants, the overhead's going to be really high because they're not giving the money to individuals. They are providing services. So,
well, as someone who, you said it was 1989 that Mike Lindbergh put this together. Well, 1990, I was working for the Black United Fund of Oregon,
At that time, just a little bit of city history, the only organization allowed to raise money through government programs was United Way. And because of my advocacy and work, we were starting, we opened it up to organizations like the Black United Fund and some other national organizations. So it's kind of overwhelming now to see that there's like, what, hundreds of organizations that we now have on this list. But I can tell you, as someone who's managed nonprofits for over 25 years, that a reasonable administrative expense is what people expect when they're giving charitable dollars to an organization, unless there's an organization that is all voluntary and is just really about providing the service. So I'm glad this is not an emergency ordinance and that we'll have another opportunity to continue this conversation. And I'm sorry that you ended up being here morning because we needed to have this conversation, but thank you.
Well, it's a good conversation. And Commissioner Fritz, please go ahead
first. Thank you. We did it last year as well. I give you my two cents that I think our city employees make good decisions when they have good information. So the chart that you just handed out as to overhead expenses, I would not be, in fact, I do donate to Kairos PDX, and I am not deterred by their overhead because, as Commissioner Hugh Daly said, that's what they do is provide support and programming for the people, and that's what the money goes to. So I would suggest to the committee that the rule be just publish it and that we take away that limitation. I'm sure the committee will make a good decision. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for a great presentation. Good conversation. There was no testimony, right, Carla? Just to confirm.
We didn't have a sign-up sheet.
Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended. Thank you. And we are adjourned until 2 p.m.